Well, Elise Castle.
Well, Mike Jensen with the long hair.
I know, my hair is very long, and we can actually get to the reason behind that.
Okay.
I have blackmail hair on. I've been blackmailing myself for several years now that I'm not allowed to cut my hair until I do a live show in New York City. So we haven't been around in a minute. We meant to be back sooner. We know that some of you have been patiently waiting for us to get back to do this final episode. But part of it is that I'm doing a show. I am doing a live show in New York on November 24th at a place called Don't Tell Mamas. If you're in New York or around and want to travel in and see me, you can still make a reservation. And then I get to cut my hair. And that's all the way of saying, like, I've been really preoccupied. I've been really, like, working on trying to get that together. And there just hasn't been time.
It's a Kenny G tribute show, which is why the hair is important.
Exactly. I want to make the mood. I want to make sure that it's clear what I'm doing.
No, it's not. It's so, Mike's yeah. own music.
It's my own music. Yeah, it's the most recent album that I put out that is kind of intended to be a soundtrack to some stories that I wanted to tell about my life and writing and music and my relationship to that. And then, you know, I tell some stories about some of my family that is not with us anymore, and to try to sort of remember them and honor them. And so it's a fun and funny show that has moments where it gets a little dark and serious, but I do try to keep it light. And it is primarily me playing my guitar and singing, which I'm not a guitar player. I can strum kind of, like, I'm not great at it. And then I do have someone that's accompanying me and playing piano on three songs. And I will say, I had my first rehearsal last week, a couple days with this woman, and it was really, really cool. I mean, it was nerve-wracking, and she walked in, and I was kind of silly and was like, I just need you to know that my imposter syndrome is very high right now, and I'm feeling very insecure. And she was very comforting and super sweet. And I will say, like, you know, I write everything in my room by myself. Like, I write all my music. It's just me, and I can't play piano either. That's the other thing. I can't play that. Like, I just, me faking it, and then GarageBand makes it sound way better than it is. So to be in this room and have her, like, play the music was really, it was jarring and, like, kind of, like, overwhelming, and then ultimately really, like, exciting. So,
and you gave her just, like, chords? Is that what you did?
Literally gave her chords, all of which were not correct. Like, it was, like, my interpretation of what I think the theory of it. And then I sent her the three songs so she could, like, hear them. So she kind of took both things and kind of, like, made her own out of it. And it's not all the same as what's on the album. And she was very much like, I'm doing this different. How do you feel about that? And honestly, I was like, you're the piano player, not me. And she was like, no, but I want to honor the music. I want to honor what you wrote. And for me, I was like, thank you, and I love it. And so anyways, this is all to say, sorry that it took us long to get back. There have
been a
few
reasons why.
And when
is your show? You didn't tell them that part.
I did, but maybe I said it quickly, so I'll say it clearly. My show is on November 24th. It's the Monday before Thanksgiving, which I know is kind of a negative and positive for some people as far as the dates go, but I really wanted to do it. I needed to get it done. So November 24th, Don't Tell Mamas. It's on 46th Street. You can go to their website. It's a cash-only thing, so, like, you don't buy a ticket ahead. You just kind of, like, reserve a spot, and it is $20 in cash door fee. It's also $20 minimum per person, and that has to involve two drinks. I'm going to say up front, I don't love that. You know, not all of my friends drink, and I feel a little bit sheepish that I'm asking people to spend that kind of money, but it just, I needed to do it. Like, I needed to, it's something that it's been inside of me for many, many years, and I just felt like I need to get it done. So to those who I know are already coming, I'm
Mike,
very
I will
grateful.
Always buy a $10 Diet Coke for you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Once
I'll be
again,
there. That's the other thing. I'll be there too.
Elise Castle will be there if you want to see Elise and Mike in the same room.
Yeah, so this is also an official We Couldn't Help But Wonder meetup. So if it's...
if you have any more questions, if you couldn't help but wonder, show up and we'll be there to answer your questions.
But don't scream them while he's singing.
Yeah, let me get through the show and then there'll be some meet and greet time afterwards. So
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say. I mean,
well,
Yeah,
we have plenty to say. But the only other thing that I did want to say is, here's the other reason for me, I don't want to speak for you, that it's taken a little bit of time. Because everything I just said is true and totally valid. I also haven't known exactly how to approach this final episode. because I had mixed feelings about this series. You know, I had mixed feelings about it as it went along. I had mixed feelings about its conclusion. And I really, really, really didn't want to end on negativity. So what we've decided is that you all out there have sent in many questions and thoughts. And we have friends that have sent in many questions and thoughts. So we're going to kind of go back and forth. We haven't planned this, so I have no idea what you're going to ask. I don't really know what I'm going to ask because I didn't look over all the questions that I have. So there might be some repeats. We might skip some stuff. But that's kind of what we thought we'd do, a conversation about some of other people's thoughts. And then we'll end with some of our own thoughts on the episode.
And also,
so do you want to start? Or
yeah, I'll start. But also something I wanted to say, because I was like stressing myself out because people will ask questions and I'll be like, I don't even remember that. But I'm not going to stress myself out because I've only seen most episodes of Sex and the City like the time that I watched them for this podcast. Right. And it's not because I didn't like them, but it's because for the past, I don't know, 7, 8, however long we've been doing this for, years, like I'll watch the episode a few times and we have to write about it and talk about it. Like there hasn't been time to just sit and just watch casual episodes of Sex and the City. So a lot of times people will be like, I can't believe you don't remember that episode. So I'm just letting you know, that's why. It's like, I've only seen these episodes once, unlike Mike, who usually will be able to fill things in for me and help out.
Usually, mostly seasons 3 and 4, but other seasons as well. So let's get going and just sort of see how this conversation goes.
Okay, so the first question I have is, I want to use, if you don't have your real name, I mean, I don't want to like use people's Instagram names. So I'm just going to say that we're going to answer your questions.
Sure.
So what you wish could have happened in Just Like That season 4, if there was. I mean, for me, I really wish that, like, if we're talking about the first 3 seasons that we actually got, that like just saying like that's what we got, nothing changed there. I wish we would have just had some more finality for the characters that we are all watching this show for. Like, I wish we would have found out more about Steve. I wish we would have, you know, really, I don't know, moved more like with Charlotte and not just Carrie's story being the only one that has like kind of an ending. I wish they would have all ended together. I wish Samantha was there. Like, I wish we would have gotten a solid ending on the reason why we watched the show in the first place. And I'm not saying that like the newer characters that are introduced were not good. I'm just saying people watch this show for Carrie, Samantha, Miranda, and Charlotte, and the people from the original series.
And I don't think that we were going to ever get it, but even if they could have faked it, like my ideal final shot for this entire series would have been Miranda and Carrie and Charlotte at brunch, having a conversation, the door opens, they look over, and there's Samantha in the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I don't know that practically they could have done that. I think they could have done it through trickery, but like just something like that. And I don't need it all to be pat, but I agree with you that I just wish we would have gotten a little more finality for these characters, a little bit more of like, they're going to be okay. And once again, I don't want to dwell on the negative, but I'm never going to quite get over that whole like, I'm not alone, I'm on my own. Like that, to me, that's so not, I don't know, that's such a weird tone to have ended that on, that I wish it would have ended with, I'm not alone or on my own. Look at my friends, look at who I have around me. I have love.
Right.
Even if she ends single, like I have love in my life.
Yeah, and so, like that idea of, you know, the quote that I'm gonna mess up, but you know, the like the girls you have fun with, like that's the thing, right? So it's like, just bring it back to that. And you can bring, you know, LTW and Seema into that, right? Like it would be great to see all 6 of them together. I would love to see how Seema and Samantha got along.
Sure. Yeah. So certain things that probably couldn't have happened, but I would have liked to have seen that kind of thing. So one question that I have here, and these are from like literally years of our friend Annabelle texting me. She like went in her phone and just searched for I Couldn't Help But Wonder. So some of these I think we've talked about a little bit. Like I think we've talked about like, how did Carrie move apartments so quickly and why did they change her apartment? I know they changed her apartment partly because one of the writers in the writer's room wanted to get her out of her apartment. Like they were kind of sick of her being in her studio. They wanted her to explore something else. And so that was just to like show her trying, I think. And I think that the end is it's money. And which is a little bit of why that storyline I don't love, because it was just sort of her being like, well, I have tons of money, I guess I'll move, and then immediately move back to my old place.
But she doesn't move back to her old... Oh, you mean, I'm sorry, I thought you meant like move into that big apartment with Big.
I think that what this was in reference to was when she moved to the apartments like in Chelsea, to her weird single person
yes, with that thing that's like beep, beep.
Right.
Beep. Yeah.
I think that's what she meant.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, she when like in New York City, it actually, because people move so often in New York City, moving is not that, if you have money, it doesn't have to be time consuming. There are services that literally will walk into your apartment as is, pack it up, and have you out the door the next day.
I don't know how I will ever move unless I have that kind of money. And I know that I will probably not, so I'll have to figure it out. But like, oh gosh. Moving.
No, I mean, it's as someone who moved out of an apartment they were in for 13 years, like I know you were in yours, you're in yours longer, but still, it's possible. You just have to give yourself, you know, a couple months to pack. Because it's going to take you a long time because you have memories and lots of DVDs.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have, at the end of the season, which character do you identify with the most? And has it changed since watching from the beginning? Yeah, I think for me, if you would have asked me right away, I would have been like, I'm a Miranda. But I think I've said this before, but I think we are all a little bit of everyone. I wouldn't I have much Samantha in me at all, except for the fact that I like have a potty mouth sometimes. But I think I'm a lot of Carrie, and I think a lot of people are a lot of Carrie, and they don't want to admit that. But I think Carrie is like all of our insecurities and desires and basicness and selfishness, like those parts of us that we don't necessarily want to talk about, but we have. I think we all want to be a Miranda because she seems like really cool and has it all together. Well, until and just like that.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that I would always identify most with the Carrie. And it's not just that she's the lead character, but yeah, we have talked about that Carrie is kind of the amalgam of all of them, that she sort of takes the little bits of all of her friends and is. And I think it's also why we get mad at Carrie, because we all are like, we would have chosen better than that. But, you know, we all make weird choices sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've also talked about this a little bit in that, like, do you think they ever talked about Samantha hitting on Big in the first episode? Like, hey, remember when your best friend really wanted to have sex with me and I turned her down and I'm with you? And I don't think they ever did.
No, I think that's one of those things that happens when you put a pilot out, and more so I think when this came out, and then you're like, oh wait, I don't think this is how it's gonna go. No one's gonna remember that.
Right. I agree. I think that's probably true.
Yeah. So what is Skipper up to? Like, the person who played him, has he been in anything since Sex and the City? Well,
so yeah, I mean, I know him primarily because he went on to, I guess, minor spoiler alert, to marry the second daughter of the United States on the West Wing.
Oh, okay.
So his name, he had a short stint on that.
Yeah, his name is Ben Weber, by the way.
Yes.
I remember him also from the Broken Hearts Club, but that was in 2000, so that wasn't like after. He was also in Twister, Coach Carter. I'm just honestly on his IMDb, everyone. ER. 2 episodes. Anyway, you can go on IMDb and see. He's done plenty of things.
Yeah, he works pretty steadily.
What is he doing in the real world? I don't know. Most recently, he's been in a podcast series called Going Reno. He was in a TV series called Denton's Death Date, Manhunt, NCI Los Angeles, Secret Life of the American Teenager, you know, a lot of The West Wing. But yeah, I think in the real world, he's definitely fine. Skipper was
I think he's loaded.
Yeah, he was in the early tech boom. He's bought into crypto. He's good.
100%. He's doing just fine. This is kind of a funny one. Does Carrie have a primary physician just because she smokes a lot and apparently doesn't work out? I don't think that she does.
No, because don't we see her going to like urgent care? Not that I'm saying that you don't go to urgent care if you have a PCP, but I picture Carrie being the one where they're like, Miranda's talking about getting her blood work and Carrie's like, oh, I haven't done that in years. And Miranda's like, don't you have a primary care doctor? And she's like, you mean my personal shopper at Saks? You know, like something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I can see that.
We got a lot of these, but, you know, just glad you'll be back, which is super kind. the abrupt ending of And Just Like That, we kind of went over that. I mean, that Michael Patrick King said when he was writing it, he just felt like this was the end and he agreed. And so did Sarah Jessica Parker and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of believe that.
I don't know. I believe that they decided it was. I believe that they decided. I don't think that HBO Max was like, we don't want anymore. I do believe that they decided that it was time. But I do feel like the other women on the show have said, like, we didn't know it was ending. Like, they all just assumed they'd signed 3-year contracts. Like, those were their contracts, were for 3 seasons. But I feel like some of the actresses have been like, we just assumed we'd be back for a 4th season. So,
well, and I guess I don't understand, too, is like, you got the feedback after the first season that, like, hey, we're here for these people. And, like, then you brought back Aiden and Samantha, and people were like, yes, this is what we want. And we do like, you know, LTW. We do like Seema. And we also liked Karen Pittman, whose character I can't remember.
I had the same thought that I couldn't think of her character's name. Naya, there we go. Love Karen Pittman. She's so good on the morning show.
We love all these actresses, and we're happy that they're here. However, like, maybe it would have been more successful if they would have complemented each other more, as opposed to, like, or even had better storylines. Because I felt like at the end, we were focusing on the new characters' stupid storylines. Like, running for local office and Ozempic and, like, teenage angst, and then, like, Seema and, like, her boyfriend, fine, but also, like, I don't know.
No, I agree. Like, I liked those characters, but I do feel like we sort of learned that what we really cared about were our core four, you know?
Yeah, and I think there was a way to fix the stuff that they did wrong in Sex and the City that in 2023, 2024, 2025, we wouldn't have done. I don't know what I'm saying there. But I just think that, like, after the first episode or first series, sorry, scratch all of that.
That was very British of you.
Thank you. What I'm saying is, after the first season, I think they should have just taken advice from people. It sounds like they were like, nope, we're still going to do what we want
to
do.
A little bit. We've talked about that, too, that when you listen to the writer's room, that it's very much like, well, we thought this was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the thing. As an artist, but, like, you create what you like. Like, that is a thing. Like, you create what you think is fun or what you enjoy, and then you hope others like it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get it on that side of it. But also, listen to the people a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
This is kind of a fun one. This is like a what would have happened thing. What if Carrie didn't stand Miranda up at the bar that night? Would Miranda and Steve still have gotten together? Because Miranda's relationship with Steve started when she was supposed to meet Carrie out at the bar, and Carrie doesn't show up. I think they still would have gotten together. I think something was going to happen there no matter what.
Yeah, because I think even if Carrie was at that bar, Miranda, something would have happened. Like, Steve would have still been at the bar, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think there would have still been a connection there.
Yeah. Predictions for Carrie's life going forward that we won't get to see on TV. I mean, I think that what's his face, the writer from England, he's going to come back, and they're going to, like, or maybe she'll go there and, like, stay with him and be friends with Samantha. I don't picture her getting married again because I don't think she wants to, but I think he doesn't want to either. And I think she's just going to live like this, you know, single, fabulous life.
I agree. I don't think that their story is over. No. I don't think that that's the end of them. I also do think that at some point someone's going to make a movie of one of her books. I can see her eventually kind of getting in the Hollywood game a little bit.
Yeah. And with Blake Lively being, no, I'm kidding.
I would watch that.
Yeah. And the next one I have is Carrie refusing to take her damn shoes off. Which that was ridiculous. And I think we talked about that quite a bit when it was happening.
Yeah. At least have, like, little wipes next to the door or something if you really want to wear them inside.
Yeah. Mark's mom just got new floors in her apartment, and she has those things that you can slip on over your shoes if you don't want to take them off.
It's very Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
I like this one too. What happened? Because I think about this sometimes. What happened to the $2,000 chair that Aiden made for Carrie? Did she sell it? Did he ask about it later when they got back together? It's definitely not in the movie when she redoes her apartment. And I do wonder about that, because I can't imagine that she just got rid of it.
Yeah, I can see maybe Miranda coming over and being like, I love this chair, and Carrie being like, just take it home. You know, the wood holds bad memories.
Yeah, I wonder. I do wonder. I don't have a good answer for it, unless maybe it's in storage. But yeah, it's a weird thing to not have anymore.
I know you say you don't hate Watch, but I'd truly love to hear your thoughtful critique. I think we're giving it.
I think we are giving it as well, because once again, I didn't hate. We're going to get to some things that I didn't care for later on, so maybe we save it for then. But okay. I didn't hate the experience of watching this. I just found some of it to be frustrating. And I just found some of it to, like, not feel as though, to me, it was honoring the characters that we had spent years learning about.
You're not mad at the show. You're mad at the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get it in a lot of ways. Like, I don't understand how you could take something that people love that they want more of and then say, okay, but let's do a fun one. And it's not... And then them say, like, nope, we actually would rather you not do that. And people are like, okay, but how about even crazier? That's what I just don't get. I don't understand why someone wasn't like, why don't we just give people what they want? Now that you're 100 plus episodes in, is there anything you would have done differently with the podcast? Yes, I would have had a different co-host.
Definitely. We would have both... No, what would I have done differently? You know what I think back on? This is a true thing that I think back on and I do cringe a little bit. And it's going to be something that I think people will be surprised that this is what I look back and cringe a little bit. I guess that I wish, in retrospect, I hadn't have come so hard for the term gelati. I had just never heard gelati before.
Oh,
and apparently gelati
neither.
Is just the plural of gelato. But I didn't know that. So in that episode, like, let's get gelati. I'm like, gelati? That's the weird... I never even heard of that before. And now when I leave my apartment, I just see the word gelati everywhere.
Well,
like,
that's also because gelato in the past few years has become a booming...
Everywhere.
Yeah,
it's the new donut.
New York City.
Like, it's... Yeah, it's a new cupcake. It's all that you see. So it's funny that, like, that's the moment, but I look back on that and I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have come so hard for the term gelati.
But it's also a weird word to use in a TV show because it's not commonly used in places in America with gelato. Like, you know, Americans sometimes we don't use the proper terms anyway. So it just sounds weird if we're trying to write like the way, like, have you ever heard someone say to you, do you want to go get gelati? Like,
right. No. Ever.
And it's not...
Never heard that.
And I'm not saying they're wrong. We are wrong for using...
I feel like there are Italians out there right now saying, let me say gelati. Like, that's,
yeah,
you know.
And I get that. And you are correct. But I'm just saying that if you write it how people in New York City would have said it, that's how they say it. They,
right.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, there's words like caveat, which I know is a real word. But one time I worked somewhere where someone insisted on using it all the time when they were talking to people. And I'm like, no one else is using that. You're not better than me.
That's funny. Yeah. I like this one because I think it speaks to certain personalities and to how we react to other people's happiness. Because one thing that is here is, do you think Samantha was secretly happy when Aiden and Carrie broke up and then Charlotte and Trey broke up and all four of them were single again?
No, I don't think at all Samantha is a person who gets excited when other people fail. I think she has a lot of her own sadness. You know, we saw that in the episode with Miranda's mother at the funeral. And I think there are a lot of moments, but I genuinely think she is a pretty genuine person when it comes to the way she treats other people. Not the men, maybe, but I think she's always doing the best she can with the information she has at the time. And that's, like, even meaning the emotional growth she's done.
Yeah, I agree. And as the single person, there are certain friends that I see less of because they have significant others now. And there is no part of me that wants them to break up with that person. I'm so happy for them. I want my friends to be happy. And if my friends want relationships, I want them to have relationships. I would take no joy in my friends being unhappy. And I don't think that I'm a Samantha. Like, I don't think that everything about us correlates the same. But no, I don't think that she had any joy in that. I think that she was truly hoping for her friends to be happy.
Mike was targeting that at me, I think. To be honest, Mike, you could always hang out with Mark and I. We're not doing anything that exciting. Also, we have different work schedules, too, now.
It is true.
Are we going to hear more from you? I really hope so. Well, you can hear more from Mike Jensen if you go to his show.
Yeah, you can hear more from me at my one-man show. I also do a podcast. It's not the same, and I don't expect everyone that listens to this podcast to come over to that one, though many of you have, and I really appreciate that. We're currently on hiatus because my dear friend Vanya, who I do the podcast with, the podcast called Mike and Vanya Can't Not, you know, it's a busy fall for her and she has two young kids that are in school. So we're not recording at this moment, but we usually record like once a week and just sort of share. The thing about it is, and we've thought about other things and we've done other things, but for me, this was always about this show. This was always about like, let's take a project that is a finite project and do that. And so I'm proud of the work that we've done, but I don't see myself taking like several years again to comment on another show.
No, but I do. And also we have our Patreon that you are, there's no new episodes on there, but you can like subscribe to it and listen to everything or download things. I don't know how it works. And then just unsubscribe. Like, that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're not putting new things out. I do think I heard Patreon has a thing now where you can just like, where I might be able to change it so that people can just have our collection and then that's it. But we're not putting new things out, but we're also not taking it down in case you do want to do it. Also, like, Mike and I are still in each other's lives, so who knows? We could watch a movie and be like, do you want to do an episode about this movie just for funsies in 6 months? Who knows?
Who knows?
Never say never, but right now, there isn't a plan to do something else. Right. But, however, if you are listening right now and you have a lot of money and you are a producer of some sort and you're like, I would actually love to pay you both to do something, that is different. Because a lot of the reason why we can't is because we work a lot.
Yes.
Great.
So one of the, so another question we have here is, I couldn't help but wonder, why did Ada move into Carrie's apartment so fast? Couldn't he just live in his apartment until they closed on the other place and renovated? And I do think that's a fair point, that like when they were renovating, there wasn't really any reason for Aiden to give up his place, mm-hmm. unless he needed his rent money to cover their place. But it's a valid point. I feel like we also have talked about how like that apartment made no sense. Because they talked about that it was another apartment in the building, but if you look at the layout of the building, it was a building over. That's all.
Yeah, and I think maybe he wanted to be there as the renovations were happening because he was doing the renovating. And
yeah, I could see that being a thing. And also just wanting to move in with her.
Yeah. If there was one thing you could change about the end, just like that series, what would it be? Oh, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I'm going to say I wouldn't have killed off Big. Now, this is... Okay, I'm going to say this and say... This is only because of the Sex and the City and Just Like That world. I'm not talking about Christopher Noth. I'm not talking about anything going on in like the real world. I'm saying if none of that happened and we were just talking on Sex and the City, I wouldn't have killed off Big in the first episode. I would have been interested to see what their marital life actually looked like for at least a few episodes.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I would have changed is just... found a way to make some of the characters feel more true to the people that we knew them to be in the first place.
Right. Because I feel like for me, so much of Sex and the City was the will they, won't they of Carrie and Big, right? And so it's finally a will they, whether you like him or not. And I just felt like doing that in the first episode set us up for this is no longer what, like, this is something completely different.
Well, and that sort of leads into the next question that I want to talk about, because I think it's a really interesting psychological thing. And it doesn't just apply to Sex and the City or And Just Like That. It's a real thing in our brains. So the question here is, I couldn't help but wonder, isn't it interesting how all the ladies' men move in with them and then they all break up with the men and get back together with them and end up with them, except for Samantha? But here's the thing. It's a psychological thing that when we watch something or read something, we want the character to end up with the first person we see them with. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing with Little Women that bothers a lot of people, because in the book Little Women, that's not how the story goes.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But it is the brilliance of Greta Gerwig, that if you see her film adaptation of it, she like snaps the story in half so that we do get that to happen. Anyways, I think it's very interesting, but that's why it is. Samantha was the free one, so we were kind of fine with Samantha being with a new person every season. But in most cases, you're like, no, but we saw them together. We want that to happen.
Right. So I think that's just a nostalgia thing, too. And also, it's that rom-com thing of, you know, the meet cute, the wanting it to work. And I think that's kind of what I'm talking about with the Big situation. I'm not saying that she needed to be with him forever, but at least maybe two episodes. Here's another one. Hey, I don't know if you guys recorded your final episode yet, but I was wondering how you felt about the many seemingly unfinished moments in the season. I just finished your episode Present Tense, so you might address this later on, but Aiden's mysterious duffel bag feels like a metaphor for the whole season. So much left unpacked and unknown. Miranda as a grandma, Steve and Brady's relationship, LTW's whole thing with Marion. The list goes on and on. So many stories seemed almost forgotten or neglected, and in the end, I felt the season seemed rushed. I don't know what you think about this, but I'd love to hear it. Unfortunately, I don't think the duffel bag means anything. Like, I wish I could say yes, it was a beautiful metaphor, but I don't think at that point in the writing they were like, we're gonna hit them with a strong metaphor here.
I feel like someone has talked about this and actually said something, but I can't remember what it was. So forgive me if we had a conversation and I don't remember what it was. But I don't know. I kind of think it did have to do with just him bringing his baggage in and with her never really fully understanding what that baggage was.
Sure. But I don't think that the writers were like, we're never going to wrap up these stories, so let's just keep this as Aiden's unfinished business.
Well, and this is, once again, we can go back to the whole thing of whether or not he got to that episode and thought, I think this is the right way to end. I think you need a full season to decide how something's going to end. I think they would have needed a fourth season to like start at the beginning to be like, we're going to end it with this season. I think that's what you get from knowing ahead of time that a season is a final season, is that you can plant those seeds and really see them through, which is why for me, I did not find this to be terribly satisfying, because even if, like he says, he decided, oh, this is the end, I don't think there was enough time to really give us a satisfying ending, my opinion.
Well, also, I feel like everyone in the 90s had a duffel bag. I don't really see as many duffel bags anymore.
That's true.
Everyone had a duffel bag. That Adidas top zip duffel bag, a Nike duffel bag. Now we're in a backpack world.
Yes.
What storylines, topics would you have preferred for season 3 or in Just Like That as a whole? What would you have done differently in terms of story? How would you have ended the stories? I mean, we've kind of gone over it a lot during this episode, but I would have loved to see more about what is Steve doing, what happened with the house there. We never talked about, you know, Lily's elder pansexual boyfriend.
Right.
Not that we needed to, but that just popped up in my brain. But I really think I would have just tried to focus more on the relationships. And I think what people love are these moments of past guests coming in and, you know, throwbacks to the old episodes.
Because and I understand it's a comedy and I get that they were going for comedy, but even for me, the storyline of Miranda moving in with Carrie for that brief amount of time, to me, that could have been a really fun storyline. And instead it was all based on like, Miranda doesn't know how to behave like a human being. Like she eats the last yogurt and drinks the last Coke and spills like to me, that could have been such a fun, like we see these characters in bed eating Oreos. And instead we get like, it's everything's wacky. I don't know. I feel like they leaned a little into the wacky and whether or not that's what Sex and the City was, whether or not they were like, no, the show's always been kind of wacky. This is now. I think you've talked about this, that yeah, it would have been nice if they had told stories the way we tell them now, which is just a little more grounded and a little more character based.
Or honestly, what would have been fun is if they would have flipped it on its head and did what they did in the first few episodes, where it was kind of like that talking to the camera thing again, which we
that
do see.
Fun.
We do see that in some TV shows where people are just talking right to the camera. And that could be fun to have that. I don't know. That could have been something different. It would have been neat to see just a completely different take on it. And then something else that someone brought up was, this show doesn't feel like Sex and the City, but this show was always going to be something different. Are there areas where you wish they had made more significant changes to the characters or plots, or areas which you wish it was more similar? We kind of went that, but then they went on to say, for me, I would have not brought back Carrie's apartment, or if it had to return, I would have made her friendship with Lizette something already established, so she had a reason to show up there to visit sometimes, but wouldn't have made it a major set piece. I also would have wrapped up the Aiden stuff in the season 2 finale. It never felt like they were going to work out in season 3. So I'd have loved to see something different, which I agree with. Like, I think we could have used season 3 for something else. And with Carrie's apartment, something that I thought of that could have been interesting is that what if Carrie, what I would have liked to see is Carrie using it and like making it into the Carrie Bradshaw women's workspace, right? Where it's this place and she's turned it into this place where women can write or create jewelry. Like her and Lizette put this thing together, this small like artist space on the Upper East Side with just tables and coffee. And so that way it was still around, but you could see the new generation coming in.
Yeah, I guess for me, with I love that apartment so much. So I'm happy that the apartment existed. And it's kind of why I hated what they did with it in the end.
Yeah.
And part of why I was like, I sort of wish that she hadn't sold it to Lizette. Like, I kind of wish that she had rented it or been like, live here and pay the expenses or something like that to have sort of kept it. And I know that they wanted to change it to like kind of show like nothing gold can stay and everything's changing in the city.
But to agree with you on that also, I mean, Carrie is so sentimental that it felt strange that she was just willing to sell this.
Yeah.
Also,
and to sell it in a way in which it was going to be allowed to be sort of torn up like that.
Right. And this person also goes on to say that they wish the single characters went on more bad dates with different people. Miranda's episode with Rosie made me want more of that. A promising first date with someone who later turns out to have a weird quirk, and that's a deal breaker. And I agree. I think that that's what was so fun about Sex and the City is, you know, we talk about the so-and-so guy or the so-and-so guy, and we don't really get that in And Just Like That.
So I have one that I think is kind of funny because do you think Miranda regretted never finishing the marathon? And I don't think she did. I think that she was kind of happy to not have to do it.
When did Miranda have a marathon?
So she was supposed to, she was training for the marathon when she threw her back out.
Okay.
And then Aiden like had to come and pick her up in the rug. And then, yeah, she never ended up running it. I think she was fine. I don't think it was regret of hers.
As someone who has never been able to run, if I was training for a marathon and that happened, I would just be like, God's plan. Yeah. But that probably came from our friend Annabelle, who has run marathons.
Yes, she is. I think she's done one full marathon and one half marathon. But that is from, these are all of my questions are from Annabelle Franklin. Oh. Did I not say that? They're all from our friend Annabelle. Yeah.
Who will also be at Mike Jensen's show.
She'll be there. You can meet her.
An Annabelle meet and greet. Something I want to say, because this has to do with And Just Like That. Mike and I both went to Governor's Island this summer. And did you walk by the glamping spot?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I did too. And I actually went inside because you can, even if you're not glamping. I don't think, here's what I would suggest it for. I would suggest it for people with a ton of money who live in New York City who want to do something different. Because Governor's Island is really great right now. Like, they're really doing a lot of stuff. They've turned these buildings into places that house art. You can ride around on bikes. They have food. It's fun. However, it's still in under construction for a lot of things because it was left untouched for many years. So even this glamping site is like next to what looks like a huge building being built.
Yes.
And I saw people there and it looked fine, but I feel like you can also just explore that area without, you can explore that area and have a very similar experience without sleeping there.
Yes, absolutely. It's that thing that I look at and I'm like, if someone paid for it, I'd do it. I'm never going to spend that kind of money to like sleep in it. And they're not just they're nice tents, but
sure, but it wasn't like you didn't. And maybe it was because we were there on like a fall day, but I don't know. It wasn't something that looked to me like a super luxury experience. But
right.
I'm saying for the average person who doesn't have a lot of money to just spend, I would save up for something else.
Yeah, I agree. So I thought that we'd kind of finish by saying one thing that we just kind of can't let go of. One thing that I'm like, that still kind of bothers me a little bit. And maybe I feel like I didn't talk about it enough. But then also share something that we really loved about this series and just like that. And I can go first if you'd like.
Sure.
So the thing that I would like to talk about, and this is not to judge anyone's lifestyle or judge people's choices, but I always go back to the scene where it's Miranda talking about, why can't I blow up my life? Why can't I change everything? Why can't I decide this? And then if I don't like that, why can't I go back? And I want to honor everyone's choices and say that as a human being, you are allowed to make mistakes. You are allowed to choose things. You are allowed to go to crazy places. I just want to put out there that I think the rules change a little bit when you get married and have a child. And I don't mean that forever. And I don't say stay in a loveless marriage where you're miserable. I'm not advocating that at all. I just wanted to say that of like, you do get to do whatever you want to do. We are humans and we have free will. If some people don't think that, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think that we have the freedom to choose things. That doesn't always make it right. And I'm not saying that Randa chose wrong. I just wanted to put that out into the universe, that I do think that we do bear some responsibility to each other as human beings, as friends, as spouses, and as parents. That's all. That's my little point there.
That reminds me of this thing I've been seeing now on social media where people are like, if you RSVP yes to something, you should show up to that thing. You don't get to be like, I'm setting a boundary and I'm just not going to go. That's not setting a boundary. That right. is like not.
It's breaking a promise.
It's breaking a promise. And I feel like we do have a lot of that in this day and age because of people taking therapy terms out of context. Right. And as someone who's in a lot of therapy and totally understands that self-care and boundaries are important. I think we also have to remember that what's also important is connection and community and showing up for one another.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have anything that you can't let go of that you want to talk about?
So with that being said, Mike, I will not be at your show. yeah, I mean, the duffel bag. my big thing tends to be when you're watching a TV show and you're like, oh, that's going to be a thing. And then it's never a thing. And gotcha. Why yeah. did we waste our time talking about it? I mean, a comedy concert, I know that's a dumb one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of in tandem with your gelati reference, where it's like, I get that that is a phrase. But as someone who does write things, I will often like go over things over and over again and be like, have I heard people use this in real life?
Right.
Like, hey, is this something people... I actually will Google something and be like, do people say this word or how do we use this or that? Or because it, I know it sounds like it doesn't matter, but so many people stop taking the show seriously early on because of things like that.
Right. I think that there is something about being in a room and going, I wrote the word comedy concert. I wrote the words comedy concert. What do I mean by that? And to like let someone come back and say, oh, I think what you mean is a comedy show or,
yeah,
you know,
or like
a comedy
in the writer's room with gelati. If someone was like, I'm sure there was someone in the room being like gelati. And they're like, yeah, that's actually the plural word of gelato. And they're like, sure, but I've never said that. Have you guys ever said that? No. Like, we should probably just put what people normally say. And like, if someone really gets mad at us for not using the proper thing, then we'll like say like, we know, but I don't think Carrie would have known that.
I do really, like, I feel, like, sort of seen and redeemed that you're on my side. I literally have carried gelati in my heart since, like, the week it premiered that came out. And I saw the word gelati and was like, I'm an idiot. So I really appreciate you being on my side in this
no,
one.
No, I mean, we get a lot of hate from people about things that we say that are wrong. Mostly when I made that thing about Shelley Duvall and Shelley Long. And I thought I wasn't going to survive. We don't get much hate mail over gelati.
Okay, that's nice to know.
I mean, I can't tell you who Gwyneth Paltrow is still, and no one seems to be bothered by that. I think another thing that, I mean, I think we went over a lot of things that we can't get over, but basically what I'm trying to say is I can't get over the fact that they said they even did a focus group about this show, right? And they had so, I mean, they are not... This isn't Sex and the City when you didn't have all these forums and podcasts and comments on social media and Reddit threads and articles to see what people think. They had every opportunity to see what the people who love this show thought about it. And they still were like, I don't know, I like this hat.
Comedy concert.
Yeah.
Well, so on that note, here's the thing that I really did love. And it's interesting that this is what I end up on, because not that I never liked this character, but perhaps for me, the least interesting character became for me the most kind of for me, like the most beloved character in this. And that I just love what happened with Charlotte. Mm. I love that we have this character that we sort of establish early on as kind of the like not flighty and certainly not like always smart, but kind of like follows the rules and is looking for this perfect man and is going to have this perfect family and is everything's going to work out exactly the way that she sees it in her head. And I love that we end up with her in a loving marriage with loving children, but that in so many ways looks nothing like what I think she probably thought it was going to look like in the beginning. And I love that. I love what happened with the character of Charlotte and how much growth she experienced and how open to this journey she ended up being that was not, I think, at all what she originally pictured in her life. And somehow she ends up, I think, the most happy and the most content.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think we see it in the original series when she starts dating Harry, because she was not, I mean, she was slightly resistant at first, you know, it was her lawyer and this and that, but she was really quick to understand this man treats me well and I'm going to be with him. And I think the thing about Charlotte is she's very smart, and I think she was following the rules and doing what she was told because that's what she learned kind of got you ahead and was the right thing to do. But she was always very quick to adapt, and she always knew the difference between right and wrong in a lot of ways. And she was always the one that was the most true to herself from the moment in the back of the cab where she said, you know, I don't want to be Mrs. Up the Butt or whatever it was. Like, right. She would have been if she wanted to be, but I don't think she actually did. And, you know, sticking up for Carrie when Big wasn't there and really taking the moments when she was learning new things about Rock, just kind of letting herself feel the feelings and always be there. And I agree with you on that. That was a really wonderful part of this. I kind of think I agree with you on that. I think that might be what I really enjoyed too, was just seeing how wonderful Charlotte is.
I think it was the most interesting evolution of a character. I think it was the deepest evolution of a character while feeling very true to the character we'd always known. It never felt like, oh, Charlotte would never. Mm-hmm. It felt like, wow, I love that Charlotte is doing this. I love that this is where this character is going. Yeah, I that's where I land on it. Mm-hmm. I love what they did with her. Mm-hmm. And I know that we usually end with a couldn't help but wonder. I don't know if I want to, other than I guess I couldn't help but wonder if we'll ever see these characters again.
I think we will. I think maybe they're just tired too.
Sure. I could see that. I could see some way to bring them together, maybe even for a movie, maybe even just for one more time.
I think they know, listen, like, we're going to do something else, but we can't tell these people that because they're never going to let us live us down. Sarah, Jessica, you got that show at Don't Tell Mama. We got to give you time to to prep for that. But no, I do think that something, I think they got bit by the bug and they'll want to do some more stuff. I don't know what it'll look like.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, is this when you and I start singing For Good from Wicked?
Yeah, I've heard it said. No, but you know, in the end, I do want to say, I already have my tickets to the movie. I can't talk about it. I'm too excited. I guess what I want to end with really is if we never meet again in this lifetime, you know, I've appreciated this time with you, obviously, and I've loved how this has done for our friendship and what this has done for the two of us together. And I will always cherish what we've gone through and what we've done together. And to everyone that listens, like, I know it took us a while to get back for this final episode, and I know that we haven't always said the things you wanted us to say, but we've received so many amazing messages and so many incredibly heartfelt responses. And I just truly am grateful. I'm grateful for this journey, and I'm grateful for those that listened and for those that have joined along and for this time that we've had. I've really, if we never meet again in this lifetime, thank you.
I agree. I think that this was something that we started not knowing what it was going to be, not knowing if anyone would listen. And I even see people that I know in my life that I have no idea ever listened to this. And they're like, oh, I love it. I listen to it all the time. I don't even watch the show, which is so great. And the messages we get from people saying that we're their comfort listen and they feel like they know us and that we help them get through, you know, different life events. It's just, it's wonderful, because I never would have had an opportunity to talk to people in this capacity if it wasn't for this podcast. And not even just about Sex and the City, like the things that we've shared personally about loss, addiction, cheese, I don't know, like people really resonate with it.
Yeah. 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 I'm very grateful for this. And so I want to thank you, Elise, for being a wonderful partner in this.
I want to thank you.
And I want to thank everyone for listening. And
Rosie.
And Rosie, she's back there. If I just turn my camera a little bit, she's right. There she is. Thanks, Rosie.
Thanks, Rosie.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City. When Elise and I started this journey over 8 years ago, there was no way we could have known where and how far it would take us. We will both feel forever blessed to have had so many along for the ride. You can continue to follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77 and listen to my podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Most importantly, take care of yourselves and let's take care of each other.
I'll continue in web browser. Why is it being dumb? Schedule. That is something that our friends across the pond say. Okay. I have one from, I don't know who this could be. Elise's boyfriend sounds so interesting. Can he join in? Have you been on an episode of Sex and the City? Then no.
We've been very strict this whole time.
Yeah.
Which is why we've had approximately one guest.
Who wasn't even here in real life.
That's also good. Because I